This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And that's why, you know, sometimes some people go and have some, you know, affair on the side with someone who's like really ugly. You know, people say, what's happened here? Because it's just, you know, not living with them. So beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's not physically how they look, it's the character. And that beauty in the character, husnu sirah, it's a unique beauty. The way your wife talks to you, the way she interacts with you, the way your husband talks to you, it's just unique. That character, beauty in character, you cannot buy that with any money in the planet. I'm telling you, it's the best thing you can have. If you've got a spouse who's got the most beautiful of character, then you need to really feel yourself to be fortunate. Character is very important. So don't just go for looks. I'm not saying attraction doesn't matter. It does, to an extent. But think to yourself, just to an extent. After that, it doesn't matter too much. As I said, it'll become normal to you. You'll be, the face is, you want someone who's beautiful to you even when you're 95-year-old Buddha. And she's 94. And she's got all wrinkles on her face. And you know, sometimes you get these two old people, you know, 80s and 90s. And the love they have, they've grown old in Islam. And you know, like your old granddads, or sometimes you see them. You know, amazing, that love between your granddad and your grandmother they have. Amazing. That's unique. That's what you call true love. You know, that they just, they've, all their life, they've shared together. And that's what Islam, that's what marriage is about. It's not what we think right now. That's what marriage is about. So, taqwa before marriage, right? Start off on the, you know, don't do unlawful activities before marriage. If someone is involved, then repent sincerely to Allah. We need to, you know, correct our ways. Because once a person gets a habit, then even, you know, don't let shaitan deceive you. Don't let Iblis and Satan deceive you. Then you know what? After I get married, I'll sort myself out. Because if you are doing things until marriage, then I can guarantee you that it will carry on. In most cases, even after marriage. I mean, I speak to a lot of people. You know, I have the Dar Iftar line, and I have emails, phone calls. I talk to hundreds of people in the past few years. And, you know, married couples, you know, the type of problems, like every problem you can think of are taking place. And you can tell a lot of these things are habits before marriage. They've not sorted themselves out before marriage. And they bring these habits in the marriage, and it causes problems in the marriage. To the most extreme, I don't want to be explicit, we have young children, but to the extreme, to the extreme, yani, subhanAllah, I'm telling you, to the extreme. You know, there are cases where, like, one sister once called me, she's got two children, they've got two children, they've been married for 10, 12 years, and, you know, he's been doing all kind of dodgy things, as, you know, he said to me, and so once she followed, and you know, he's doing some unlawful, and he's not just having an affair, but he's going to massage parlors, and things like that. Married men visiting prostitutes, come on, you know, you've got a Muslim woman at home. You know, when you get these habits, they're really difficult to get rid of. People who've got habits of, you know, playing with themselves before marriage, right? I'm being explicit here. You'll have your wife next to you in bed, but you'll find more pleasure in relieving your own self than having a relationship with your spouse. And this is medically proven, scientifically proven. There's a whole book on this as well. There's a really good book on porn. You know, this one sister, and so many sisters actually, wives, Muslim women, I've spoken to at least six who say their husbands have an addiction to porn. They find more pleasure in porn than having a relationship with their wife. Come on, you know, I said that a couple of weeks ago, we were in Canada, there was a few other sheikhs as well. Well, a few other sheikhs and me, not a few other sheikhs as well, because I'm not a sheikh. But, you know, Sheikh Ahmed Ali from Bradford, Mufti Abdul Rahman Ibn Yusuf, we all were in the same plane. Sheikh Hassan Ali, I think he's coming tomorrow. Yeah, we were in the same plane, going and coming. We all went for a weekend, just there was a conference there. So one night we were just sat in the hotel, we were having this discussion, all this. We talked about these issues, and Sheikh Ahmed Ali from Bradford, he was flabbergasted. He said, this is the first time I'm shocked. He couldn't understand that there are people who would actually, you know, they'll be so dysfunctional and psychologically so, you know, degraded, that they would feel more pleasure in these activities than even having their own, and there's no problems with their wife. Yeah? If there's problems with the wife, then maybe they can't justify it, but maybe you can understand. But there's nothing wrong, but still. And he was shocked. And then we told him, we said, look, this definitely happens. It's a disease, so we have to correct our ways. And that's why at the time of nikah, taqwa is reminded beforehand as well. Beforehand as well. And that's why, you know, in some communities, people make tawbah, repent to Allah, that okay, now I've done all the sins, just I want to stop right now. And I personally feel that you should try not wait for the last day, tomorrow is my marriage, tonight I'm doing tawbah. No, give it at least 6 months. 6 months at least. Make tawbah, completely sort yourself out, and then be completely newborn Muslim. At-ta'ibu min adh-dhanbi kama la dhanba lah. The one who repents is like never committed a sin. Spend 6 months of chastity, of good practicing of Islam, and then get into marriage. And you'll see that you'll have a very prosperous marriage. Many problems, marital problems, are because of this, because of these habits from before marriage. You know, you know those people who are good beforehand, you see them that their marriages, they prosper in the marriage. So taqwa before, what time is Maghrib, by the way? 35. Okay. Taqwa is before marriage, taqwa at the time of, and then at the time, before marriage as well. One other thing about before marriage, engagement. You know, when you get engaged, nothing's changed, nothing's happened. You're still foreigners and strangers to one another. A lot of people ask, what can we do after marriage, after engagement? I said, nothing, it's just like before engagement, nothing's happened. So before marriage, have taqwa. Qabla nikah. At the time of marriage, which means your marriage, marital and marriage ceremonies should be conducted in accordance with the rules of Islam. You know, as I said, you know, like the person praying salah and drinking alcohol, it's like people have marriage ceremonies, and in the ceremonies within the nikah, they have intermingling of the two sexes, of the two genders, women dancing, men dancing, mixing, this, that and the other. Music, and lawful activities. There's no barakah, there'll be no blessings in that marriage. This is an act of ibadah. It's not a worldly thing, it's not a cultural thing. It's an Islamic thing. This is what I'm saying, it's an Islamic thing. You have to make the right intention. Before marriage, you have to learn about marriage, fiqh of marriage. You have to learn. There are rules. You know, non-Muslims, actually sometimes some of them go and take courses. We've got the best course, the best guidance given to us by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What else do we need? Learn about the rules of marriage. We need to learn. Remember, everything that we do in our lives, we need to learn about them. We need to learn about the rules of marriage. And then make sure and ensure that the marriages are contracted in accordance with the teachings of Islam. There should be no unlawful activities in the marriage ceremony. And then the most important part is after marriage. Taqwa after marriage as well. Between the relationship of the husband and wife, there has to be taqwa. There has to be the fear of Allah. There has to be God consciousness. You know what taqwa basically means? Everything we do before we do it, everything we say or we do, we think Allah will question me about this on the day of judgment. If I now, my wife is here, I am going to speak to her. Before I speak to her, let me think. Look, the way I'll speak, Allah will ask me, why did you speak in this way? And then I speak. If you're a wife, then before opening the mouth, you know, think. You know, if I say something to my husband, Allah will ask me, did you speak like this to your husband in a disrespectful manner? Think beforehand. This is what taqwa means. That's why you want a wife or a husband. Remember, you will only have a prosperous marriage if you have someone of taqwa in your life. Deen, tunkahul mar'atu li arba'in li maliha wa li jamaliha wa li jasadi wa li deeniha. Fadfur bi dhati deen. Why is deen so important? Because I am telling you, deen is so important. Really, if you want a prosperous marriage, you will only survive with someone who has deen. And deen doesn't mean someone who just covers their head. That's another topic. It doesn't just mean someone who just wears a niqab and a hijab, or just someone who grows a beard. I said, not just someone who grows, or someone who grows just the beard. Yeah, don't take things out of context. I'm not saying this is not important, this is important. But not just that, it's not restricted to that.